Today she is Masecht Babasra Daf Kuf Chaf Gimel. We will begin Bezer Hashem Yisbarach and Daf Kuf Chaf Beis Amid Beis. Two lines from the bottom Tana Rabbanan. The Tirak Daisha, as we have been learning, teaches us that a Bechor is entitled to Pishnayim, to a double portion. Where the Gemara begins today's Shir is by discussing how is that Pishnayim distributed. The Brisa teaches us regarding what the Torah says. Kes bechor ben amsnua yake losus le pishnai pishnayim kechod. We give the bechor double what every other brother, what one brother would get. That means if there are two brothers, we divide it into three, and the brother will the Bechor will get a double share. At the Omer, Pishnaim kech a double of what one receives. And a Pishnaim b'kolam nechassim. In other words, if there were five brothers, for example, and one was a Bechor, he would get two-thirds of all of the assets that the father left, and the other brothers would divide amongst themselves one-third of the remaining assets. Dinhu, and says that the makes sense, suggests the Brisa, that he should only get double of what any one brother gets, says the Gemara, because chelkayim echad, chelkayim chamesha. He divides when he has one brother, he divides the assets of the father when there's one surviving brother, and he divides the assets when there are five brothers. Ma chelkayim echad. When there's only one brother, so he's getting pishnayim kechod. He's getting double of what that brother received. Af chelkayim chamisha, similarly, if he's dividing it with four brothers, with the five brothers, that means there are five brothers total, and he's dividing it with the four remaining brothers, he should always remain just with pishnayim kechod, double of what any one brother got. Or suggest the Brisa, Kalach LaDerech Su. We could suggest a different approach. Chelkayim Echad, he divides the Yerusha when he's with one brother, and he divides the Yerusha when he's with one of five brothers. Chelkim Chamishai. Mach Chelkim Echad. If there's only one brother, he will receive Pishnayim B'kol Nechasim. He's going to get two-thirds of all of the assets. Af chelkayim chamisha, the same should be if he's dividing with the five brothers, with the four other brothers, he should get pishnayim b'kol nechasim, two-thirds of all the assets. So the Gemara is still not clear. The Gemara is not sure what he should get. Tamaloymer, the Pasuk says, the Pasuk prior to the Pasuk that we began our shiur with today, v'hoi b'yom achila esponav, so this pasuk seems to be extra because the next pasuk already teaches us. The ready pasuk already taught us. Why did the Torah have to say that this pasuk again? Torah rips a nachla etzel achen. The Torah says more Yerusha should go to the brothers, not to give that much to the Bechor. And what the Torah is teaching us, that not that the Bechor should get two-thirds of all of the assets, ha, ein alach ladin kolosha achron, don't paskin, like the second version, which we said means that the Bechor will get two-thirds of all the assets. Rather, the way to understand, as Kolashin Rishon, that he gets, there's one extra share which goes to this Bechor. V'oimer, and then the Brisa continues by quoting other psukim that seem to indicate the same point. V'oimer b'nei Reuven b'chor Yisrael, ki hu ha-bechor, Reuven was the Bechor, u'b'chal lo yitzuya aviv, Nitna b'charos l'bnei Yosef. The pasuk Divrei Yom says that when Ruvain moved Yaakov Avinu's bed into the tent of Leah instead of where it was in the tent of Bilhah, the nitna b'charos l'bnei Yosef, his b'chayr was given to b'nei Yosef. V'loy l'schaches l'b'chayr. Yosef ben Yisrael, v'loy l'yisase l'b'chayr. And not that he should be considered, not that Yosef should be considered, says the Gemara, completely the b'char. What it means was that he was considered the b'char to get this double Yerusha. The Malbim explains that the way to understand is that the Avos HaKadoshim had a question which we've mentioned before. How to view themselves? Are they viewed as Bnei Noach or are they viewed as members of Klal Yisrael? If they have the status of Klal Yisrael, so then Yosef deserves the Bechaira, because the Kedushin that Yaakov was Mekadosh Rachel with Kedushay Kesef in exchange for the work that he was going to do for a father Lovin came before the Kedushay Leah. But the Nesuin of Leah, who was the sister of Rachel, therefore was illegitimate. You're not allowed to marry a sister. But if we treat him like a Ben Noach that doesn't have Kedushay Kesef, so that what was done with Rachel is not considered an act of Kedushin, and therefore Leah is Yaakov Avinu's legitimate wife, and Reuven deserves to be the Bechor. What happened was, as we just mentioned, Reuven moved the bed of Yaakov into the home of Leah, and that and now the question is, can he have a tshuva on what he did? So if Leah is considered Pelegish Aviv, and the Pashup, Bill is considered Pelegish Aviv, and the Pashup shot in the Pasuk is that Reuven had relations with Bila. So if she's a Pelegish Aviv, so then the halach is what he did is not wrong. And therefore, what he did can be corrected. However, if he's dealt with like an akum, then what he did was wrong. And that's why, says the Malbim, Yaakov wanted to help Reuven creep out of this Aveira. How did he help him get out of the Aveira? The way he was able to get out of this Aveira was by treating them like, not like a Ben Yisrael, not having the halacha of a Bechor, and therefore what he did with Bilhah is not considered something that is considered inappropriate. Says the Gemara, Ve'omer, and there's another pasuk, Ki Yehuda gavah ba'achav, a pasuk also in the Reyamim, Ki Yehuda gavah ba'achav, l'nogid mimenu v'bechor l'Yosef. So, says the Gemara, Nemra b'chor l'Yosef, here the pasuk clearly indicates that Yosef was the b'chor. The nemra b'chor l'dairis, loy mishpera b'chora, ma b'chora ha'umma l'Yosef, the pishnaim ke'echad, Yosef got double of each of one brother, ah b'chora, so we see from here, as we've been discussing in our shiur today, that when we speak about b'chora ha'mur l'dairis, when we speak about how a b'chora is divided, pishnaim ke'echad, the b'chora gets double of any one brother. V'aymer, and when Yaakov gives the bracha to Yosef, the pasuk says, "Vanina satil choshchem echor alachechom." I gave you an extra portion alachechom versus all your brothers. Shelakachti mi'adamayri. I gave you shchem, which I took mi'adamayri becharbi bekashti. And now the question is, v'chi becharbi bekashti lokach? Did he really go to war? V'loi kvar nemar. The pasuk says in Tehillim, "Ki loy bekashti eftoch v'charbi loy soy shieni." That I don't rely on that. Ella charbi zutfila and kashti zubakasha. And many mefarshim try to understand why is tefillah compared to charbi ukashti? The Avnei Nezer explains, the Shem Shmuel quotes his father, the Avnei Nezer. He explains that charbi means that when you use it's a bow and arrow. And when you use a bow and arrow, in order that the arrow should be able to perfectly hit the target, you have to pay much attention how much that it should, to aim properly and to make sure that you pull the bow back all the way. And what Yaakov Avinu was saying was that the way my tefillah was successful was because I put much concentration into my tefillah. And because I put so much concentration in my tefillah, that's why my tefillah was successful. The Brisker Rav has a different explanation, that he says that there are two ways in those days where the main weapons were swords and bows and arrows. He says the difference between a sword and a bow and arrow is that a sword has the ability to kill by itself. By its sharp, it kills. A keshes, a bow and arrow, isn't dangerous. It's only when one uses it properly does it have the ability to cause danger. So he says, when we speak about tefillah, there are two types of tefillah. There's a tefillah that we know, the nusach tefillah of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the Shmoneh Esrei, that we say three times a day. And then there's tefillah that each one of us are mispalel when somebody needs something, as we learned on Daf Kufta Zayin, if Rachman Tzlan, somebody has in his home somebody who needs to get better, he should go daven. What does it mean we should go to Chacham? Why does somebody else have to daven? The answer is, a tefillah of Shmoneh Esrei has the power that every Anshei Knesset HaGdolah put into the tefillah, that it has incredible power. And if we say the words of Shmoneh Esrei, then the words of Shmoneh Esrei have the ability to bring to us Yeshua. When we say a personal bakasha, a personal tefillah, that needs much concentration. That needs a special schus that it should be properly answered. And that's what Yaakov Avinu said, b'charbi u'b'kashti. I davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with both types of tefillah. The standard nusach tefillah, like the Shmoneh Esrei, and then I davened b'kashti, the special tefillah that I said whenever I needed something. And because I davened that tefillah when I needed it, as we explained from the Avnei Nezer, with the proper concentration, both types of tefillah were successful, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should hear my tefillah. The Or Sameach has a very interesting approach to this Gemara. He says that, again, as we've learned, that the Or Sameach begins by explaining that there are two types of tefillah. There's the standard nusach tefillah, and then there's the special tefillah that a person can be mispalel when he has a special need. So says the Or Sameach, Yaakov Avinu davened both of these types of tefillah. He says, and what happened, however, was that the tefillah that Yaakov Avinu was mispalel with his own special keshes, says that's a tefillah that you have to be very, very careful to know that it's going to be successful. And that's why the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham, that once when he is mispalel, an extra tefillah should consider if he should be mispalel an extra tefillah during the Shmoneh Esrei. Because if he's mispalel an extra tefillah during the Shmoneh Esrei, how do you know it's going to work? It doesn't have the same power as the words of the Shmoneh Esrei. The Tepuchei Chaim explains, What makes the Gemara explain b'chabi b'kashti to mean tefillah? So the Tepuche Chaim explains that we know that the Pasuk says regarding Esav, al charbecha techia. And here we find Yaakov saying b'chabi b'kashti. So it can't be, says the Tepuche Chaim, that the Gemara means to say that charbi means my sword. That doesn't belong to Yaakov Avinu. It must be that charbi means my tefillah. So the Gemara just quoted a number of psukim to teach us that the Bechira is divided, that the Bechor gets just a double of, gets, they divide the Yerusha, and the Bechor just gets one more shear. And the Gemara's question is, Mai Va'omer. The Gemara quoted all these psukim, and the question is, what is the purpose of quoting all these psukim? V'chi Teima, says the Gemara, if we only had the pasuk of V'yoyim Achiloi, maybe we'd say that this pasuk is coming, as we discussed in our previous year, to tell us the halacha l'chad Rabbi Yochim Abroiku does. It's coming to teach us the halacha that Rabbi Yochim Abroiku taught us, that even though there are halachas for Yerusha, the halacha is that if the father chose to give all the Bechayra to one son over all the to one Yerush more than to the other Yerush, he may. Tashma. So therefore, if that Pasuk isn't available for that Pasuk, Tashma, the Pasuk says, Ruven Bechor Yisrael, and then the Pasuk says, Hu Bechor Bechali Tzui Ovev Nitna Bechor Eli Yibnei Yosef. So Yosef becomes the model for Bechayra, and if Yosef becomes the model for Bechayra, just like what happened by Yosef, will happen by every other Bechor. So the Rashbam asks, how could the Gemara use this pasuk which we just read, which is a pasuk in Divrei Yomim? The halacha is Ein Lamedim Divrei Torah MeDivrei Kabbalah. We can't use psukim in Nach to teach us what the Torah means. So the Rashbam says that to initiate a halacha just based on what is said pasuk in Nach is indeed not acceptable. What we're doing in our Gemara, however, says the Rashbam, is taking a pasuk from Nach and using that pasuk just to help us understand how to understand a pasuk in the Chumash. That may be done. V'chi teima, if you'll say that the word bechayra that the Torah uses and bechorasoi loigaminan, the word bechorasa which is said as by Yosef, are not to be connected. Tashma, v'abechayra l'yosef. So the Gemara quoted another pasuk in Divrei Yomim, which uses the exact same word, bechayra. V'chi teima, Yosef gufei. When we speak about Yosef, how do we know when he got this extra shear? The way to understand what he got his extra shear was pishnaim ke'echad hava, double of what any one brother got. Tashma, the pasuk says, v'ani nasati l'cha shchem echra al'achecha. That means Yosef got one extra share. So, of course, the Rashbam asks, how do we know to explain that that is the pshat in the pasuk? So Rashbam says, it doesn't make sense to say that Yosef got such a large share as we started the share, that he got two-thirds of what everybody got, because it's difficult to understand that, going back to Gemara, that we just discussed the other day, where the Gemara says on Daf Kuf Yud Ches that the Bnei Menashe, Yosef's descendants, came with a complaint that they didn't have enough land in Eretz Yisrael for the large family. And now, says the Gemara, if Yosef got such a large share of Eretz Yisrael, why would they be upset? It must be that he did not get such a large share. Amalei, Rapapa Labayas. Rapapa asks Abaya, maybe just to the contrary. Ema Diklab Alma. Maybe what Yaakov Avinu got was just, what Yosef got was just one tree. Olay, Omalay, to which Abaya responds, Alecha Makra, the Pasuk says, Ephraim Menashe, Keruven and Shimon Yuli. And that Pasuk, to understand simply, means that they got a share equal to any of the other Shvatim. And from here we see that a Bechor gets a share equal to any of the other brothers. Says the Gemara, Boimenei, Rav Chelbim, Rav Shmuel, Nachmeni. Ma ro Yaakov should not the Bechayra be Ruvain and not only Yosef. Why indeed did he take the Bechayra away from Ruvain and give it to Yosef? Says the Gemara, Ma ro, what kind of question is? As we've been saying throughout our shir, the Pasuk says, Bechala Yitzui Aviv Ksiv. The Pasuk says, because of Ruvain's Bechor, because of Ruvain's behavior, Yaakov took the Bechayra away from him and gave it to Yosef. Says the Gemara, Elo, the question meant to ask is, Ma ro shenit li Yosef? Yes, we could understand why Yaakov took it away from Ruvain, but why did he specifically give it to Yosef? To which Rav Shmuel ben Nachmani responds, Em shalcha mashal, he gives him a mashal. Ma dav adam le baal bayis shegol yosem teich beisai. Somebody raised a yosem in their home, the yom hasher asu yosem, and ultimately this yosem became wealthy. Vomer, I want to give some of my wealth to the person who brought me up. Yosef is considered to Baal HaBayis, and Yaakov is considered like the Yosem. And we know that Yosef was the one that supported Yaakov in Mitzrayim. So when Yaakov decided that he wants to take the Bechayra away, he felt that the right person to give it to is to Yosef for what he did, to what he did for him. And as the Maral explains, what Yaakov Avinu was saying is that there's no coincidence in the world. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu led us to a time and a place that Yosef is supporting Yaakov, it must be that Yosef is deserving of the Bechayra that he wanted to take away from Reuven. But ask the Mashal. The Mashal is really not comparable to what we're learning, because the Mashal, this Yosem, supports the person who took care of him only later on in life. Yaakov Avinu, earlier, as soon as Reuven did what he did, decided to take the Bechayra away from Reuven. So Mashal explains that he decided to take it away from Reuven, but he did not decide yet to whom to give it. The decision to give it to Yosef only came later, after Yosef started to support him. And I saw that the Din Yaakov indeed says that that decision was only made close to when Yaakov Avinu was nifter. Amalei, says the Gemara, Ilav dechater, according to what you're saying, Ilav dechater Reuven, if Reuven hadn't done the Avera, so then Lemahana Le Yosef Le Madam, then Yosef wouldn't have gotten anything. And according to you, Yosef was deserving for what he did. Ella, Rabbi Yonason Rabbach Lo Kachomer. It says, therefore, he says, Rabbi Yonason, your Rebbe, had a whole different approach. Rather, he says, Ruah Hayesu Bechara Lotzes Merachel. The Bechara should have come out of Rachel. The Ksiv Ela Taldos Yaakov Yosef. And the Pasuk is teaching us that when we think about the descendants of Yaakov Avinu, the one to think about is Yosef, who was the son of Rachel. Ella, Shekadmas Aleah Barachman. Leah, by davening, and on the other hand, because Rachel showed such tremendous sneers, and the way the Maral approaches this Gemara is that Rachel was supposed to be Yaakov Avinu's primary wife, as the pasuk says, "Bnei Rachel Eishes Yaakov." What the Gemara is teaching us, says the Maral, is as we're going to learn, the pasuk says, "V'ena Leah Rakois," the Leah was crying, and Leah was being mispalel. And what the Gemara was teaching us is the koyach tefila, the power of tefila, where Leah was mispalel, was able to take what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had decreed from the beginning of the world and take that bechayra away from Rachel and give it to Leah. But then, it seems the way the Maral explains, there's this tension. On one hand, Leah now deserves the Bechayra because of what she was mispalo. On the other hand, as we're going to learn, Rachel demonstrated incredible tznius. And because Rachel demonstrated incredible tznius, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to make a decision. Yaakov had to make a decision, of course, through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Yaakov Avinu decided that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided the Bechayra should go to the tznius. The Inyakov explains, the pasuk, as we just said, says ve'enei leya rakos. What does the pasuk say ve'enei? Yeah, Leia looked down to the future. Ve'enei leya. Leia looked into the future and saw what will be because of her tefillah. And because she looked into the future, that's why the Bechira at one point came to her. The my shekadmasa l'barachman. So ask the Gemara, what is the definition of kadmasa barachman? Says the Gemara, the Ksif. The pasuk says, "Veinei Leah rakus." Leah's eyes were not nice. Ask my rakus. What is the definition of rakus? Ilay marakus mamish, that they were not. They that she constantly was crying. They were teary eyes. So ask the Gemara. Efsha, but gnus behemet meilei dibar kosev. We find that the Torah goes out of the way not to speak negatively about a non kosher animal. Because we find in Parashas Noach, the Ksiv, when the Torah wants to describe the kosher animals that were brought into the Teva and the non-kosher animals that were brought into the Teva, the Pasuk says, "Mina behema tahira, or behema she'ena tahira." And as the Gemara Masechta Pesachim, the beginning of Masechta Pesachim, teaches us, "Amri b'shur ben Levi, la'olam al yotzi adon davar megunim apiv," a person has to be careful how he speaks. Shrei ike makosav, we know, that one of the principles of learning Torah is that every word is precious and that the Pasuk tries to use as few words as possible. And here, Ikem HaKosav Shemayna Ayisiv, the Torah added 8 words, just Loi Lahotzi Dava Gunam Apiv, just not to say the word Temeya. And is it possible to explain the Gnus Tzadikim Dibra HaKosav, that here we're going to speak negatively about Leia the Tzadikis, Leia, one of the Mars. From here we see the Shaar Teshuva says that speaking in an improper fashion is one of the greatest averos that somebody could violate. And the Chayvus Halvavus says that one of the Chassidim was walking by a dead animal and he spoke about the animal in a derogatory fashion, and what happened was that the Talmidim told him that even in this dead corpse, this animal that's not alive, we could find something positive. It had beautiful teeth. And the Seif in the Masechta Derech Eretz, Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Adam Noa Meshubach, Umoitzi Dova Begunim Apiv. You have a good person, a significant person, and he speaks something improperly. How do we look at it? We look at this beautiful mansion, and somebody put in the middle of the dining room of the beautiful mansion something very inappropriate. And the Shlo HaKadosh says, Avi Avois HaTumah, the Avi Avois of Tumah is that somebody should speak not nicely. And that's what we see from this Gemara, how careful we have to be in the way we speak. Ella, Amar Rebbe Elazar. So we're back to what we started. What does it mean, Enei Leah Rakus? Shematnasea Ruchos. That what she accomplished with her tefillah was that she had gifts that came for many, many years. Because the Kahanim come out of Sheva Levi. Melochim, kings, came out of Yehuda, comes from Leah. Her tefillah accomplished for many future generations. However, says the Gemara, Rav Amar Lo'olam Rakus Mamash. The way we should understand the pasuk is literally the Leah's eyes were teary, and Loi Gnai Huzeh, but it should not be viewed as something negative. El Shvach Loi, it's something positive. Shoyse Shemas Al Proshas Rochem. Leah always heard. Rivka has 2 sons, and Lavan has 2 daughters. And as the Mashah explains, we find in the Torah at that point that they always looked to get married to relatives. Avram married the daughter of Haran. Avram Avinu told Eliezer to find a wife for Yitzchak from his family, so that it was quite understandable that Leah expected that she would marry her cousins, the sons of Rivka. Gedolah, and the assumption was that Gedolah, Leah would marry the Gadol Esav, and Ktana Lekotan. And she used to ask everybody, my shidduch, Gadol Esav, my presumable shidduch, Gadol Mamasav, what type of individual is he? And the people would tell him, Ishrau, he's a terrible person, Belastam Abrius, he's a thief. And then they would ask, Katan Mamasav, what kind of person is the younger brother? And they would say, Ishtam Yoshev Olim. And she cried that was the person that she was destined to marry, until her eyelids fall out. So of course, the Mefarshim asked, we understand the Ben Yoyada, says we understand that Leah was interested in knowing what kind of individual her Esav, her presumable chassin, is. But why was she interested in knowing what type of individual Yaakov was? So he explains, Leah heard that Esav was not such a great person, but she hoped that if she would marry him, she would be able to be a positive influence on him and turn him around and make him into a good person. But then she asked, what kind of a person is his brother Yaakov? And she was told that Yaakov is a tzaddik. So now she started thinking to herself, Esav lived all these years with this tzaddik, with Yaakov. Yaakov ishtam yoshev aholim, the Gemara said. And he wasn't able to influence and change his brother Esav. So she said, if Yaakov wasn't able to turn around Esav, how will I be? I certainly won't be able to turn around Esav. And that's what caused her to cry, because she saw that she was going to marry a person. There was a Russian she wouldn't be able to change. V'ayin d'ksiv, says the Gemara, that's pshat what the pasuk says. V'yar Hashem kisnu leya. Ask them, my snu, what does that mean? Ilema snu mamish, again, to say that she was a person that was hated. Ilema snu mamish. So we come back to the question we mentioned a moment ago. We find how careful the Torah is and how it speaks about even a non-kosher animal. Is that the way that Pasuk is going to describe Leah? El Rak Kadosh Baruch Hu Shesnua Mais Esav B'fanah, how Esav was in her eyes something that she despised. The Yiftachas Rachma. When a person shows that she has the right priorities, that's what caused Leah to have the schus that she had. The question is, what that the Yisroch Moshe asks, is yes, that Leah did this wonderful thing, and she didn't want to marry Esav, and she was mispal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that she shouldn't marry Esav. But Rachel, as we keep on seeing in our shir, was supposed to be Yaakov Avinu's zivik. So why did Leah get the chance to marry Yaakov before Rachel? Says the Yismach Moshe, Esav intended to go to Lavan's home and take a wife like Yaakov did. Like Esav also heard that he's going to probably marry his cousin. What happened was that if Esav would have come and married Leah, then Yaakov would have never gone to that home, because Yaakov, as we know, was running away from Esav. What caused everything to happen was that Esav saw that Yaakov Avinu married into that family. That's not a family for me. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to do it that way. The Pasuk says, as we just said, V'ein Elei Rakos, and the Medrash quotes the Pasuk, Mini Koilach Bebechi, Kiesh Tikveich Lachva Achraseich. So the Rav Yonasan Eipshitz in the Sefer Divrei Yonasan explains that Leah was mispalel, and as we're going to learn, Rachel ended up not getting Yaakov first, and not being the primary wife, not being the mother most of the Shvatim. So Rachel, why was Rachel allowed to do this? Wasn't Rachel supposed to take care of herself? Says the Medrash that by Leah marrying Yaakov first, and in Maris Machpelah, they only could have one wife per husband. So Leah ended up being buried together with Yaakov Avinu. And Rachel was buried on the road in Beis Lechem. And the Pasuk Yirmiyahu says that Rachel being buried there is for us, for future generations, that when Klal Yisrael goes into Golus, we'll have we to be mispalel, and Rachel will take us out of Golus. So what Leah accomplished was that Rachel should do for us, that Rachel should be here to be mispalel for us, that when we need her tefillahs, they should, that those tefillahs should be here for all future generations. We say in the Slichas, in the Yom Neroim, we say it by Nila, Yiratzu Mefanecha, Shemeya Kol Bichyos, Shetosim Demoseinu Benoit Chaliyos, you should take our tears, V'tzatzileinu Mekol Gzeiros Achsorius, and you should save us from all terrible decrees, Ki Lecho Lovar Enein Etluyos. So I saw that the Atla from Subotka explains that the Gemara says, the Miyam Shachar Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara Masech, the Brachas, the Aflam HaBeis, the HaMabeis says, Miyam Shachar Beis HaMikdash, Ninen Lo Shair Tefillah, the Shair Tefillah are closed, however, the Shair Demos Lo Ninen Lo, but the Shorim of Tears were never closed. What does that mean? So explains the Alta from Slobotka. When somebody davens, we spoke about this earlier in our shir, we can't be certain that his tefillah is sincere. But when somebody cries, that is something which is certainly sincere. The Gemara is teaching us, Ve'enei Leah Rakus, Leah didn't just daven, Leah cried. When she cried and cried with sincerity, and that the Gemara in Brachas is teaching us, is not any different to us either. When we are mispalel with the full sincerity, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears our tefillah. And Leah serves as that model, that a person who davens with complete sincerity, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shetosim D'Menaseinu B'Noit Chaliyos, those tears remain in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to hear our tefillah. Says the Gemara, but we learned earlier that Rachel demonstrated tznius. My tznius hoisim of Rachel. So I asked him, what does that tznius mean? The ksiv. The pasuk says, "V'yugad Yaakov Rachel ki achi avihu v'chi ben refkahu." Says the Gemara, the wording of the pasuk is sort of inaccurate. V'loi ben achos avihu. He wasn't a brother of Lavan. He was a nephew of Lavan. Ella amala, Yaakov said to Rachel, "Min sabasli, will you marry me?" Amalai, and she said, "In yes, miu." But she told him, "Abba Ramahu, my father is a dishonest person, and you won't be able to outsmart him." Amalai Maramuse, why? What's he gonna do? Amalai, so Rachel told Yaakov, "Isli achsa kshishiminoi. I have an older sister. My father won't let me get married before her." Amala, to which Yaakov Avinu said, "Ochav." Ani Bramos. I am equal to him in the Ramos. I know how to act. Amalei. So Rachel asked Yaakov, "Umishar le'letzdikla siyugui b'ramosa." Is that appropriate that a tzaddik, you Yaakov Avinu, the Ishtam Yosh V'Alem, should act in such a way? To which he said, "In yes, because the pasuk says in Tehillim, Inava tesabar." You have to act according with the other person the way he acts to you. So if Lovin's going to act with me this way, I may act with him that way. Masallah, but Yaakov Avinu, so what did Yaakov Avinu do to prevent Lovin from outsmarting him? Masallah simonim. He gave the simonim to Rachel that they should be able to know that it's her. Says the Gemara, Kikamai Leleleah, when Lovin took Leah instead of Rachel to marry Yaakov, Sava hashta mechsoi. Rachel said, my sister is going to get embarrassed. And meserta nalala. And she gave over the simonim that Yaakov, the secret simonim that Yaakov had given her, she gave to her sister Leah. As how do we know that's what happened? V'hane d'ksiv, v'hi b'boik v'hine hi Leah. And the question is, in the morning she was Leah? Mechlal da'ar hashta lav Leahu? Until the morning she wasn't Leah? El metach simonim shemosel Yaakov v'rochel, the simonim that she gave, masrut l'rochel, so all night he didn't know. What happened was, la'av yadala, until the morning came, and it wasn't dark, at that point, he shata, at that point, only in the morning, was he able to determine that this was Leah. It wasn't something that he could see before. The Divrei Yisrael, from the Majid to Rebbe, says that Yaakov, on one hand, is a person that is an ishtam. On the other hand, it says that he was Ochib Ramos, Agmar says. So he says that the Pasuk says, V'yelech Elovin Arami, Achi Rivka Eim Yaakov, V'esav. And Rashi says, what's the Pasuk coming to teach us? The Pasuk is coming to teach us, explains the Divrei Yisrael, that even though Yaakov Avinu is described as the Ishtam, he was still the son of Rivka, who was the sister of Lavan. And as we learned earlier in our Masechta, most children are like the brothers of their mother. And that's why Yaakov Avinu was able to say that even though I've worked on myself to be Ishtam Yoshim Mahalim, but I still have in my genes the ability to be a Ramoi when I have to be. The Medrash says that the question is that yes, Rachel gave over the simonim to Leah, but they must have spoken. And how did he not recognize her voice? And the answer is, the Medrash says, that Rachel hid under the bed. And instead of Leah speaking, Rachel spoke. And that's why until the morning, they couldn't tell. But the Sha'as HaTshuvas Rab Harlem says that this entire dislike that Yaakov had to Leah only lasted a week. Because after the week, Yaakov married Rachel. So when we speak about the problem in this marriage, it was only for one week. The Ian Yaakov says that a Kodesh Baruch Hu made that Leah should have children. He explains that one of the things that usually happens is that if a marriage is not supposed to take place, that marriage can't produce children. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show that this is a marriage that was supposed to take place. How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu show that this is a marriage that was supposed to take place? The way he did it was by Leah having children. If it wasn't a marriage that was supposed to take place, it would have never produced those children. Says the Gemara, Bo'yminayav chalifta kruyim rabchi bar abba. Mechlolon, if we count the people that enter Mitzrayim, at the Moitzim Shiva. The Pasuk says that kol ha-nefesh l'beis Yaakov abba Mitzrayim Shivim. But if we pratam, if you start counting at the Moitzim Shivim chasachas, if you count the people that were there, there were only 69. So the question is, how is this reconciled? Amalei, Tuma ha'isa lo'im Dina. Dina had a twin sister, the Ksiv, Vestinai Bita. So ask the Gemara, Elam Ata Tuma ha'isa in Binyamin. Binyamin also had a twin, the Ksiv, if you're saying the word S means a twin, it says Ves Binyamin Ocha ben Imai. Amala, so Rav Chivar Abba said to Abba Chalifta, my goal is Toivas Biyadi. I had this wonderful diamond. I wanted this wonderful Dvar Torah. And now, and I didn't want to disclose it. And the Rashbam explains, he didn't want to share that Dvar Torah. So explains the Rashbam, in order to appreciate a Dvar Torah, it has to be a Dvar Torah that you work for. You ask a question, you get an answer, then the Dvar Torah is appreciated. So he gave him a pshat that wasn't a great pshat, and therefore he asked the question. He says, now you'll appreciate the pshat I'm going to give you. The Rishonim asked, that doesn't the Medrash say that every brother had a twin? So why are we only focusing on Dina's twin and on Binyamin's twin? And they say that all the other twins of the Shvatim passed away before they came to Mitzrayim, besides these twins. Says the Gemara again, Amar Avcham Brachina, Yecheved, who is Zu Yecheved, who's the 70th one that came to Mitzrayim? She was Yecheved Sherasa B'derech V'Losa Ben Achaymas. That she was conceived as they were going to Mitzrayim, and she was born as they were entering Mitzrayim. Shenema, Ashiyol the Oysa Levi Mitzrayim. Leidos Mitzrayim, she was born in Mitzrayim, however, Ein Harasa B'Mitzrayim. So the Ramban asks, that as we learned earlier, it turns out that according to this, the Chevit was 130 years old when Moshe Rabbeinu was born. And if that's the case, why isn't that an incredible miracle that she was 130 years old when Moshe Rabbeinu was born, mentioned in the Torah? So the Ramban explains that the Torah only mentions Nisim that were foretold by Hashem or Malach, to show that the nace that was predicted happened. This wasn't that type of a nace, and that's why it's not reported. It says Rav Chaim Shulevitz, that the nace that happened, he explains what the Ramban says. The purpose of a nace is not just miracles. The purpose of a nace is to see the power of the Dvar Hashem. So when the nace demonstrates the Dvar Hashem, that nace is reported in the Torah. A nace that doesn't show us the Dvar Hashem, that's not here purely to show us the Dvar Hashem, is not reported in the Torah. B'am Ne Rechel Ben Shmuel Ben Nachmeni, K'siv V'Kishiel De Rochlas Yosef. When Yosef was born, that's when Yaakov wanted to leave the home of Lavan. Says the Gemara, ask him, Ramayishna Kisyal Yosef, why only when Yosef was born did that happen? Amalei, Ro Yaakov Avinu Shein Zarah Shel Esav Nimsa El B'Yad Zarah Shel Yosef. He saw that the descendants of Esav only could fall into the hands of Yosef. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, V'hoye Beis Yaakov Eish, V'Beis Yosef Lehava, V'Beis Yaakov Lekeish. That only Yosef has the disability. That's why when Yosef was born, it was time to go. Esvei, the Pasuk says, V'yakim Dovav Meneshevar Erev L'machrosam. Amalek was the descendant of Esav. And here it says it was David that from Yehuda that was able to prevail over Esav. Amalek, to where Shmuel said to him, the Karech Nevich L'Karech K'suvim. You might have learned Navi, but you didn't learn K'suvim. Because the Pasuk says, the Ksiv, Belechtoy at Tziklag, when David went to Tziklag, Nafalom and Menashe, Adna, Vyavid, Vyadil, Mikhail, Vyazavid, Vyaliyah, Vitzalti, Rosha, Elof, Mishal, Menashe. So we saw that the family of Menashe participated, Yosef. Mosav, Rabbi Yosef, the Pasuk says, Ubenem, Bene Shimon, Hocha, Esay, Anoshim, Chamesh, Ameis, Ufalti, Benaraya, Rafoya, Vazuil, Bene Yishi, Beroisham, that Shimon prevailed, and not it was Shimon that participated, not just Yosef. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Shenla Yishi that's mentioned in this pasuk, b'nei Menashe Asa, was a descendant of Menashe, the Ksiv, or b'nei Menashe Chefer v'Yishi, a name that we've learned many times. Why the Zaroi Shel Esav explains the Yash Tavash only fall onto the children of Rachel, says the Yaris Devash. Timna was the plegish of Esav. And Timna was the daughter of a king, and she was willing to become the plegish of Esav just to connect herself to the family of Avram Avinu. So Amalek, who was the descendant of Esav and Timna, has that schus that Timna wanted to connect herself to the family of Avram Avinu. But Rachel did even greater than that. not only did she connect herself to Yaakov Avinu, she even allowed her sister to connect herself. So only someone who was able to show that tremendous connection to the family and love of the family of Avram Avinu, who is that? Esav. Only that person has the schus that they should be able to prevail over Esav. Another pshat that I saw is that Esav demonstrated tremendous mesiras nefesh for the mitzvah of kibbutz av va'em. And every good deed that's done can't be ignored. And therefore, the mesiras nefesh that Esav showed for kibbutz av va'em cannot be ignored. The only person who has the ability to prevail over that schus was Rachel, who, as we learned in our shir, showed tremendous mesiras nefesh in giving over the simonim to Leah and allowing Leah to marry Yaakov Avinu. We needed the mesiras nefesh of Rachel to be able to counter the mesiras nefesh of Esav.